Blog Talk Radio.
Kids on Bridges, available in the iTunes store. We remember Joe Garagiola, who was all over television if you were of a certain age, and I am, in the 60s and the 70s. Maybe his peer today would be Michael Strahan, in other words, on early morning shows, on sports shows, everywhere you looked was Joe Garagiola, and he was the first host of the prestigious, and I say that with no irony at all, Wrestling at the Chase professional wrestling show. Longtime friend of the late NWA champion Gene Kaniski, and someone who talked about Rip Hawk and the other greats that he worked with at St. Louis Wrestling. Joe Garagiola, you know, not on our televisions lately, but boy, he was all over the place. Did every kind of television there was to do: game shows, sports, baseball. Of course, if you're a New York Yankees fan, you know Joe Garagiola. And I can remember when I first started buying wrestling magazines and figuring out there were world champions of another stripe besides the NWA champion, and seeing Vern Gagne, the AWA champion, and I thought, why does this promotion have Joe Garagiola as their champion? So anyway, welcome to the PW Torch livecast for Friday, March the 25th, 2016. I'm Bruce Mitchell, Senior Torch Columnist. I'll be joined momentarily by, in fact, let's join him now, Travis Bryant from the East Coast Cast Audio Show. Travis, how you doing?
What's happening, Bruce? Live cast audience, what up?
Wade Keller and I just did an hour of the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show for VIP members. Wade has also done an interview with Gabe Sapolsky that people, including Gabe Sapolsky, are really happy with, and really interesting there. Okay. Yay, I sound great, and you sound good so far, too. Okay, fair enough.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So, anyway, that people are really happy with, and also did another interview with a journalism professor about the ins and outs of the Hogan Gawker case, someone who knew what he was talking about much more than, say, me last week. So that's pretty good. Let me ask you something, and this is something I talked about with Wade. Have you ever heard of a wrestling match, of a main event wrestling match at WrestleMania or any kind of big main event where either the guy that you like the most is going to get kicked out of the company and lose all his money, or the longtime legend who's a signature performer at the great show will never be allowed to wrestle on the great show again? In other words, either something bad is going to happen or something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't see Undertaker losing as something bad.
You don't?
Like, I see it as... No, it's
why not?
If all that has to be done to get the authority out of here, get Stephanie off my TV, change Triple H's attitude, is for the Undertaker, who should have been retired 5 years ago, can't wrestle at WrestleMania anymore, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make every single time. Not a question in my mind about it.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have to do that.
Okay, well, that wasn't the question.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, but still, it's still a bad thing. He's still, like, one of the great performers in all of WrestleMania history with all those great things. He's a legend. He's a babyface in this somehow, even though he works for NASA. I mean, that's where he should be. I get stipulation should be something great's going to happen if your guy wins the match. If he loses the match, something terrible is going to happen. That should be a blow-off match stipulation or a big show stipulation. And instead, the guy with the most experience booking wrestling ever has booked this mess. I mean, I'm really aggravated by that.
Yes, no, it is a mess, and it has been a mess from day one. That's not in doubt. But going from here, yeah, with that, with those parameters, yeah, Undertaker can hit bricks.
Yeah, so it's kind of where they are. So when are you leaving for WrestleMania?
Friday morning.
Morning.
So we'll get to Austin Friday, early Friday afternoon. Hang out there all day Friday. Watch Takeover at Cam's crib, and leave for Dallas in the morning.
Rate your level of excitement for this trip. I mean, compare it to other WrestleManias.
Compared to 30 was the most exciting because of the prospect of a Bryan main event, the road trip aspect of us driving to Louisiana, to New Orleans, from North Jersey. So that was 29. I really wasn't, again, it was my first WrestleMania. I was excited because of that, and I was going to get to hang out with my buddies. But I think as level of excitement goes, 30 is the best. 29 was in the middle, and this is by far the least excited I've been for the actual show. But, and I want to say this to all the listeners and anyone going to WrestleMania, if you're going to be in Dallas and you want to hang out, we're going to be posted up at the Kung Fu Salon probably all day Saturday. So probably from Saturday at 3 to whenever, you know, they kick us out or we pass out or whatever.
The Kung Fu Salon. I want to go now.
Yeah,
I didn't want to go before.
It's a bar. It's a really cool bar. It has video games like, you know, NBA Jam and Big Game Hunter, and not like these newfangled, you know, new things that the kids play, but classic games from the 90s, you know, back in the day.
Like how I am about Galagula and Centipede and the stuff that
and
was
and
10
they
years
have
before
those.
That.
They do.
Yeah.
They have the tabletop Pac-Man and tabletop Metroid or whatever, those silly games. And they're all free.
Better.
So
yeah.
The drinks aren't, but the games are. So if you want to hang, we'll probably do an official meetup. I'll blast it out on Twitter or the fan page. So follow the fan page on Facebook. Find it, search East Coast Cast, and follow us on Twitter at East Coast Cast. Especially that weekend, because that is where the non-personal friends of the East Coast Cast and the like will be, or we'll be able to get their information, not my personal one or whatever. So yeah, so if you want to hang out, at least, you know, I don't want next Friday or that Friday after or the Wednesday after on the East Coast guys like, oh man, I was right around it, because it happens every time. In New Orleans, it happened in Jersey. Oh, we were right there, and you know, like, hey, look, I'm, you know, you got to come to me. I'm the big shot here, so.
That's right. Well, I think if you tweet it out and you do the East Coast cast and you do this one, I mean, I think that'll work to get out. I would certainly hope so.
Yeah.
So I'm going to roll with that. So, yeah. So, what else am I sitting there looking at? Got anything big to talk about? I mean, the Daniel Bryan thing is really weird as far as him, you know, no Madison Square Garden tribute to Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella retiring and, you know, him not being at WrestleMania, but we don't have the particulars of what this is about yet. You just hope that everything is, you hope that it's, you know, you hope that physically and mentally he's okay. It's just something that he's stepping away from for some reason. So that's probably the bigger news this week. I thought that Raw was just, you know, I thought that Raw was this poorly booked a show, and Wade and I went through all of it. Just me kind of going crazy on stuff, but
it was really terrible.
It was really bad show.
Really bad.
So,
that's a question I've like. Have you ever seen a Raw this close to WrestleMania? It's been so bad.
No, not close. Yeah. I just thought there was just one.
And then I hear they had Charlotte versus Sasha on SmackDown. Did that really happen? I didn't see
that
SmackDown last night.
That did really happen.
Gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
man, they make it so hard. They really make it hard. This is the time where it should be the easiest time to be a fan. They're making it tough.
Yeah. My biggest gripe is in almost 40 years of watching wrestling, really seriously, I've never seen the stipulation where you give the fans either something bad's going to happen or something bad's going to happen. And then I just think that's the stupidest thing. I've seen some really bad stipulations, some really bad wrestling over the years, but I've never seen anybody try that one. And I think they didn't even know they did it, which makes it worse. And then just AJ Styles getting tricked by someone chanting his name, the babyface getting tricked by the heel twice in a row, then pulling the old switcheroo and it doesn't work on the heel. I know Chris Jericho and AJ Styles and all those agents and everybody else know better than that. I mean, I hope so. Yeah. I'm starting to realize that there are people that understand. I used to think it's just a lost art. Now I kind of think there are people who understand the art of it, and they don't get to have their say, or they're just right there, right there in that mess. And then just that fantasy camp video of Shane McMahon, the great MMA fighter. That was and then just line up the employees and to talk about the boss's son and what a natural he is. It's yeesh. That was a lot to
stop. I mean, it was well done. It just was absurd.
It was well done. Yeah, it was great. It was well done. And then it was just it was right there. And then you got to hide your major baby face from the Philadelphia fans.
And that crowd, they made me. I mean, not that they got good stuff, but man, like from the beginning, it seemed like they weren't even. It was odd, and they weren't
usually coming into WrestleMania.
They waited
excited.
Until the end, Bruce. They waited until the end to get a "This is boring" chant going. Like, well, you could have voiced your displeasure for the first 2 hours and 45 minutes without, besides basically sitting on your hands for stuff, but. Get loud, get rowdy, let them know that this sucks. Where's your fire bench chance? Something. Crowd?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. No.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else, editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
It was American Psycho. That is from several years ago. Now, I didn't see the movie, but I did read that book. All right, anyway, if you listen to the Bruce Mitchell audio show, which probably hasn't even gone up yet, you'll hear that. So, I'm not talking about that. American Psycho, that was quite the book. So, but I don't know about the movie. So, but yeah. And that's what he does his character off of. So, anyway, you ready to take some phone calls? If I can get my focus back.
Yeah, let's go.
All right.
Let's go.
We start the show sometimes with this. VIP member Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, good to hear from you.
How y'all doing today?
I'm happy today, so you can let everybody know.
Same here. How you doing, Trav?
How you
doing? What up?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm okay. Now, my first question is what y'all was speaking on earlier, about The Undertaker and him losing the Shane, and what does that do to like all the prior people who helped build the streak? I want to ask y'all what y'all think about that. Do y'all think that harm or hurt that?
I don't know. I don't think it hurts that, because I think the streak is a non-factor now. I mean, once you break that streak, like they did, you have to hope that the momentum that went to the guy that broke it, Brock Lesnar, is more than what happened to the streak, which it became not an entity. So I mean, I think that ship has passed now. So I mean, that's a big, you know, that's a big part of it. That's a big part of it. I mean, I think that that's kind of, you know, the legend of the, if Undertaker loses to Shane McMahon, the part-time dilettante son, I do think, in a bad match, I do think that that's going to hurt the Undertaker as far as it goes. But I mean, you know, they're, number one, it's the family, and number two, it's, you know, it's the family. The family comes first, getting them up. So, that's definitely part of it. Travis, what do you think?
I don't think the streak factors into this at all. Like, I don't even think about the streak anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, once Heyman stopped touting it, you know, I kind of...
Yeah, that's a good point,
too. About it.
Yeah. Which is weird. You'd think he'd just keep on doing it just because it helps Brock Lesnar, so... that is kind of... that's kind of something there. Darrell, what else do you have for us?
Okay. Since they named everything, can you... what do you think gonna happen the night after WrestleMania? That's my last question. I can be muted.
Well, I mean, I think it's gonna be the McMahon family show, and either they're going to bring out Shane McMahon and he's lost, and they'll heal on him, and then maybe Mom saves the day, maybe Linda McMahon saves the day. Or Shane, or then we have a big mess if Shane McMahon wins, and Shane McMahon comes out, and Shane McMahon comes out and lords it over the Authority, but somehow the Authority stay, and because I don't believe they're coming off of Raw, and I don't know. I think that stuff is going to be a mess. It's going to yet to be determined, and then depending on what happens with Undertaker, if Undertaker loses because of outside interference from somebody, John Cena or somebody, then. And why would John Cena help the Authority? And why would John Cena go after Undertaker at WrestleMania? Because there's no heat between those two characters that we've seen in years and years. I don't know. So that's going to be an interesting night. Also, I think it's going to be very interesting to see the reaction to Roman Reigns winning, beating Triple H, and then, you know, getting put over as the new face of the company. I don't buy that they're going to turn him heel. I don't buy that at all. So the reaction of the WrestleMania fans, did the WrestleMania fans who then go to Raw, are they excited by it? Are they mollified a little bit? Or are they even angrier and they want to take it out on Raw? It's going to be a very interesting, it's going to be interesting. We'll go to Mike from Brooklyn. Mike, welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
What's going on? What's up, Bruce? How you feeling? What's going on, Travis? If you hear me?
Yes.
First off, I want to start with, do you think, another draft is coming, like another brand extension, brand split is coming? Because you got a fact in, Bruce, like, don't you think, like the main event scene, the upper mid card, it becomes... digested once Cena, Rollins, Randy Orton, Cesaro, all these guys come back, from injury.
Yeah, I mean, they've got, Neville in there, although it's going to be a while for him. Luke Harper is going to be a while for him.
Right.
I think, I don't know. I still don't think they've got the depth of a roster, because it's not only are those guys coming back, but who's over, who's, you know, who can you split up between two rosters and hold with SmackDown and Raw if they were doing Babyface Shane McMahon runs Smack runs Raw and the Authority runs SmackDown somehow, and I find that hard to believe, but I just don't think they've got the depth of the roster to do that. I mean, you know, there's the idea out there, and I understand why people think that because of the Shane McMahon stipulation in play, and we still haven't heard any reports of Shane McMahon's time in the company being extended past WrestleMania season, and it may well be, I don't know. If I were them, I'd keep that quiet if it was, or I'd leak it out if it was too, just for storyline purposes, just to build that suspense. I think that I don't know. I just, you know, there's the theory going around that SmackDown turns into another NXT with the NXT talent, and you have a separate show. I always thought that Raw and SmackDown, when they did the brand split 10 years ago, should have been produced differently, different announcers, different talent, and there been like a, you know, a Berlin Wall between the two of them that nobody could cross, and that you have a different type shows with different philosophies, with different types of stars that, you know, that philosophy suit the particular stars on each show, but they never did that, and I don't know that they've got it. They, based on what I saw on Monday Night Raw, they don't have it together to do one show and an A show and a B show, much less switch it, you know, just much less switch it over. What else you got for us, Mike?
Also, just relating, like last night, you know, I looked at the highlights of Lucha Underground.
Yes.
And how they portrayed this new, you know, this new character, which is supposed to be the owner's brother or something like that, Mercedes Puerto.
Yes.
That's his name. And one night, they managed to get that dude over like a monster.
Well, and they did. They fed a lot of guys to him, yeah, including Rey Mysterio.
Right.
And, yeah.
And including Rey Mysterio and the other kid, Tigre Uno and all of, you know, their top guys.
Yeah.
Why is it that the creative idiots in Titan is just figuring out how to work Roman Reigns? Like, they should have stayed the course when they had him hot from the, you know, from the TLC on, instead of keep switching the character, making him Baby Cena, or, you know, I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, part of it is just like they have been doing that. It's just the dog won't hunt. The fans aren't, you know, the fans won't eat the food. I mean, they have been putting him over in traditional ways, and they've been, you know, they've been stacking the deck against him and having him slay dragons. They've been making, you know, he's been winning matches of and beating the important guys and all that. And they didn't do it in one night, but. And still, this is Lucha Underground, so it's hard. You know, you can't judge it by the, you know, if the ratings go up next week because there's interest in this guy, then I guess you could say that, but I don't expect that to happen, and they don't run shows, so you can't go by. Well, there's not very many metrics to go by, but still, that did work for the crowd that was there. And I think it's just Roman Reigns might be the wrong, and might be the wrong talent.
Yeah, I can see that. And lastly, I also had another question for you, Bruce, because I think it's time for them. I think they've been overlooked. Like, how do you feel about the Rock and Roll Express going into the Hall of Fame at some time?
For WWE, I think, you know, they've got you've got to hook it to how it helps WWE. Are they standards, Freebirds had a big run in Dallas 30 years ago, and you can get, you know, really big run, part of the culture there, and so you can get the local culture, so you can get the Dallas media to do some stories on that, and also Michael Hayes is a longtime member of the front office, so that there's that hook for that. The Rock and Roll Express don't have that hook right now. If they did a WrestleMania in the Southeast, you could do that. They're not part of, you know, they're not part of WWE in any real way. They had that one little run where they were basically brought in to make fun of Jim Cornette, well past their prime in WWF, but that's about it. And so I just think that you could, if you if you said we've got all this footage in their library, in their network, in WWE Network, as they, if they're finding that people are watching those WCW Saturday Night shows that they, the 605 shows that they put a whole bunch in, then they could hook them in there that way. But they certainly, as far as like any kind of wrestling or popularity standard, they fit well within the parameters of the people that are in that. And they're both alive, and they're both in fairly decent shape. As far, they're not any kind of embarrassments or anything. I mean, Ricky Morton had a rough go for many years, but he's certainly fine now. And so, I mean, they could do it, but I also think they look at, Vince McMahon looks at that southern part of it too. But I think it would benefit them. I think they've earned it in certain ways, and I'd like to see them in. And I know it would mean a lot to him, particularly Ricky Morton. So, I mean, that exposure would help his business. He's
right.
He's the school of Morton. He's training people, and he's certainly they work their indie dates and around this area of the country and do pretty well with them. So, in closing in on 60, that's pretty when you're headlining shows 2,000 and 3,000, which they did in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and in Raleigh, North Carolina. 2,000 and 3,000 people coming, you're closing in on 60, and you know your gimmick is you're a boy band. I mean, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty good stuff. So, Ricky Morton's one of the best babyface wrestlers I ever saw. So, I'm all
right.
I'm all.
And I just sort of, saw the DVD, and you were also in it too, cameo in it, the Rock and Roll Never Dies DVD.
Yeah, my friend Michael Elliott produced this. Yeah.
Right, and I never really I understood it like maybe as a kid because like I said, I got family from the South, and when I used to go down there, we would go to the old NWA shows, but I never really understood really how big they were. And when it got to a part, a certain part where they said they had the fan club going, and they sold over maybe $1 million dollars worth of fan clubs for $20, and they didn't get a dime off of it. Like, that just blew my mind.
Yeah, all the machinations back there, but they were really, I mean, I've told this story many times, but there's a Hardee's fast food restaurant on Market Street here in Greensboro. It's still there, and 30 years ago they opened it up, and they had the Rock and Roll Express in there. Just as they had broken loose and for Jim Crockett Promotions, they had them do a meet and greet at the thing, and Market Street, down Market Street for a mile and a half on the sidewalk, there were people lined up downtown Greensboro all the way down to see these guys. I mean, they were, when they were hot, they were phenomenal. I definitely would say, if you could look on the WWE Network and see some of this, some evidence of what I'm talking about, but when they really got hot, the crowd reaction was just so fervent for them. If Roman Reigns had one night of that crowd reaction, I think he'd be over. He'd be over based on that one night. And they were like that every night. It was just, there was just no getting around. And particularly, when you know there's money, and when you hear the girly screams, then you've got something that's going to make money, for whether it's 2016 or 1985 or 19. So it's, that's there. So yeah, Rock and Roll Express. I think that, and it says something, like I said, that they can still, in certain markets, as a nostalgia show, they can draw a crowd. I mean, there are people that want to see that stuff even today. So it's interesting. I'd like to see them in, but I also know, the parameters of what WWE is doing with their Hall of Fame, that counts for a lot more than just do they deserve to be in any particular pro wrestling Hall of Fame. So, Mike, thanks for the call, and appreciate it. Let's try Travis again, see if this works. Travis, sounds like you are. Travis, you there?
I hope so.
You are. Good man. Sorry about that. I don't think I did anything.
For
sorry about
sake.
That. Yeah.
No, it was me because I'm sick of getting muted, so I tried to do something. And then screwed it up even more.
Well, I was trying to mute
going,
you. Yeah, I was trying to mute you when you weren't talking.
No, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I can't. jump in and say things and, you know, have a conversation. But going back to your John Cena comment, John Cena has every reason to interfere on Shane McMahon's behalf and screw The Undertaker. It's not against
Oh, wait, you know what? Yeah, talk about a brain fart. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Like, no threatening to break guys injured next this time. You guys are done. And I'd like that if they bought that, if that was used as the excuse. John Cena never forgot how he had to go back on his word. I said I'd never bring the authority back, but they threatened to murder a guy, and I had no choice. Or he did. He could have just said, well, okay, go ahead, kill him.
And yeah.
See if you...
I still love that one. That was the stupidest thing.
Yeah. So that total for me makes...
All right, let's join our friend Brian from Phoenix. Brian, welcome to the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Trav. My ears actually hurt because of all Travis's noise, so I hope I can get to the phone call.
Appreciate you, the sacrifice you make to help the show.
Well, that's what 25 years will do for you, right, Bruce?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry just dialing in. Have you talked about Bobby Roode and Erica leaving TNA yet?
We have not.
Okay, so my question for Bruce, for you and Trav, is that Bobby Roode, it's rumored that he might turn up in WWE as a player coach in NXT. Sounds kind of weird because I know there's like a huge waiting list of former superstars who want to get a plum job like that. And for a guy who's never actually been in WWE, to me it's kind of interesting. So I want to get comments. I want yours and Trav's comment about that part. Bobby Roode going to WWE / NXT is possibly a player coach. What would you? Second thing, what would you do with Eric Young? What should he do? Hang around the independents, or maybe just retire, maybe get a couple different spots. And then third thing about James Storm. James Storm, he came to NXT, and he had big fanfare. There was an interview that Tom Phillips did with James Storm, where he was virtually gushing over James Storm during that interview. And for James Storm to leave NXT / WWE, and then go back to TNA, and now, you know, he's kind of almost there by himself. So did he make a bad decision? So if you can talk about all three of those points and all three of those guys, I appreciate it. I'll hang on and listen. Have a real good weekend, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big, clearly that's a big story. And I see, I don't know why they wouldn't use Bobby Roode on Raw. I mean, I think, you know, he's not washed up. He's new to the Raw audience, and the TNA audience is down so low. He'd be a fresh face, and we've seen with AJ Styles, while he'd be new to the Raw audience, you know, there's a lot of people that he's new to Raw. There's a lot of people that know who AJ Styles is, and I would assume that have been watching Raw and soon be happy to see Bobby Roode. And the fact is, the old policy of not negotiating with TNA talent, there's nothing. TNA is so much smaller now than even they were then that there's nothing that helps with that. I mean, I guess you could put him, you know, player coach and all that stuff, but I don't know why you wouldn't just put him in on Raw and find a place for him on Raw. He's a polished good piece of talent. As far as Eric Young, I didn't think Eric Young was effective in the last several years of TNA. I saw him as the loyal employee who was a good performer, but he had done so many different types of roles, from top of the card heel to, you know, silly babyface and top of the card babyface, and they'd done so much with him in so many different roles that he couldn't get any traction anymore. He needed to move to a new territory. But there weren't any territories for him to move, and those, you know, 25 years too late. So I think that he's got he's made inroads into reality television with his shows, and that he, you know, for a time will be able to do, I would think, pretty well on the independent scene. And that's where, you know, to me, he fits better as a coach in NXT than Bobby Roode does. He fits what they seem to look for with those coaches, so we'll go with that. Travis, what do you think?
Well, I'll start with James Storm. I don't think he made a... I do think, I should say, yes, I think he made the wrong decision, at least from my perspective, going back to TNA If he got a ton of money, it's probably not the wrong decision. But I thought he'd have a better go, for sure, better visibility on NXT with a possible chance of getting brought up to the main roster. Bobby Roode, I've never, ever, ever been a fan. I do not get why people... And I don't think people gush over Bobby Roode. That's too strong of a term, but I don't get... I mean, whatever. I can't remember a Bobby Roode match that... Okay, I remember he faced Kurt Angle a few weeks ago. That was okay, an okay match. But I don't think I've ever seen, like, a wow Bobby Roode match. And in Team Canada, Eric Young was the guy I liked back then, you know, back in 04. And then, like, everything you said about him is true. Didn't he wear a superhero costume at one point? Not, like...
Yeah, I think he's done. No, I think
him and Shark Boy, you know, O'Shell, yeah, when he was Shark Boy was doing his Austin ripoff. I think somewhere around that time, Eric Young donned a cape and a mask or some nonsense. But, yeah, I don't particularly care for any of those three acts at the moment. So I'm not excited for Bobby Roode showing up in NXT, and I don't care that James Storm went back to TNA and that Eric Young no longer will be on my national TV. That's probably long overdue.
Yeah, I do want to say something about James Storm. Just I think the situation, there was more to the situation than just James Storm had a choice between NXT and TNA. I don't know that the experience and what they wanted from him and how he performed in NXT was up to what they were looking for. There was more to it. They weren't all that happy with him. I'll put it like that. And so I don't know if the offer was rescinded or that was the end of the offer, and then he used that to leverage something with TNA. But that may have been his. That may have been more of his only option than there. And I do, you know, I think that it also says something, this situation, Bobby Roode and the other guy. Anyway, it is something about
James Storm,
not James Storm, the other one. Leaving
Eric Young.
Excuse me, long day, or long week. Eric Young leaving is more about also is just another of this just slow slide of TNA into whatever it is that they're going to be in their next, you know, in the next part of their, I don't know, evolution, slow death. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just these things are, you know, you don't put beer money back together again and then lose half of it because of a guy who's been working for you forever because you can't sign him, you can't keep him. I mean, it's just, and then, you know, the same reports again about things being going on with money and going on with money with Bobby Roode, and just, you know, it's kind of, as far as if you want to see TNA survive, I don't care one way or the other, but it's disheartening. I would definitely say that. So let's roll. 773, you're up next on the PW Torch livecast.
Yeah, this is Bart from Chicago.
I thought so. I just wasn't. I knew the area code. So how you doing, Boris?
I'm doing great now. I finally got on a Friday.
Yeah.
Finally.
All right. Do something with it, bud.
How you doing? Do we still have Travis with us?
Yeah.
Oh, because I want to, you know, speak directly to him. I have a friend. I kind of indirectly discussed with Ralph from Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, he listens to the show a lot. He's doing it through Facebook, and sometimes he try to get on Skype. But his set situation is he doesn't have internet like us, so he just tries to listen sometimes. And somehow he found me, and I've been kind of like corresponding for him. So eventually he'll be able to get. He's gonna set up something where he can call the show. So I just was trying to, you know, let you know that we do have a fan.
Yeah, I'm remembering last week.
Can't communicate with him.
Yeah,
but
no
he's
problem.
Listening now. So I'm sorry.
No, I was just remembering the message that you sent.
Yeah.
That you sent me last week or whatever. So, yeah. Cool.
So
All right.
He was hell happy. He was so happy. And I just appreciate things like this because it's, I just find that it's people in this world with all this technology that they're not even able to communicate as well as we do, you know, and what we have. You know what I mean? And he has, they get a little of the wrestling that we have, but they don't get as much as we do. So he actually kind of like listening to us to get the gist of it, you know, and he texts me at a certain time, like now he's listening. So I'll just give him another shout out until he's able to actually get called in the show. Because I would like to hear his perspective, you know what I'm saying? Because all I do is get a few texts from him, then he goes back to work. And then he asks about you guys. So he found out about transfers, and he listens to all the shows. So I'm just finding more appreciating for the environment that is created around wrestling versus what we're getting from wrestling.
You know, there's a lot of people that, kind of the social aspects of this for some people have kept them in the game longer than the content has, so no doubt about that. So what you got for us?
The AJ thing. One, the AJ thing, you know, I go back and watch my New Japan, and I go flip back and just, because I just want to see the contrast between this version of AJ and the other one. It's like, I'm holding out. Yes, it's two different people, and I'm just holding out, and it's, and I'm waiting to see what how Nakamura's represented, you know, because one thing I'm starting not to like is AJ's music.
No way. That music's friggin' awesome.
I like that music.
You don't think it needs a little bit up more to be a little bit more upbeat or something, or are you just fine with that?
I don't necessarily like how long it takes to get to the, you know, for babyface, you just want boom. You want it to kind of, you know, if you smell or glass break or a strum of a, you know, crazy guitar strum or something, so it takes, you know, 4, 5, 6 seconds to build up, pyro goes off, then the beat drops and the music plays. But once that goes, I think he has probably the highest music in the company. It's the most contemporary for sure. I mean, I could, you know, hear that on a mixtape or something. Metro Boomin, you know, if Young Metro don't trust you.
My next thing is I didn't see this Monday because I just somehow missed a lot of it. But apparently I have a friend. She says her sons are so turned off by the New Day. I think Travis knows what I'm talking about. That it's to the point of offense. I'm like, so my that was my comment. My question is, with what they're doing with, I'll say directly, with what they're doing with New Day at this point in time, and I do have friends that have kids in the age bracket that wrestling is supposed to be geared to, or if I'm saying it correctly, how offensive does this product have to get before there should be an outcry for what they're doing with the New Day versus black kids that's seeing this and they're finding it offensive at a young age like 14 and 15?
It's Travis.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't find the New Day offensive, and from that standpoint, I think they're offensive to some humor sometimes. You know, it's like that Seinfeld episode. Oh, so you were offended as a Jew? Like, no, I'm offended as a comedian. Like, it's, their stuff doesn't hit. I don't like the butt shaking stuff, but overall, they're okay. I don't think they're anything to be. You know, I would hope that those kids would see somebody like, you know, R-Truth or something like that, and be a lot more concerned and offended.
I'm assuming, you know, far the offended part, but because I didn't watch this episode, apparently. I don't know how far it went. You know,
it was just whack. I mean, New Day was just corny with their promo, and then League of Nations were League of Friggin' Nations, and it just was a bad segment on a bad show.
Okay.
If you're a VIP member, or if you're a listener, just a regular listener to this show, Boar's talking about, you know, we got folks all over the world, Australia, and we'll be joined by one in a few minutes. Go to iTunes and give us that 5-star rating and a brief good review on iTunes. That does count for us.
I'm big time texting that too because I'm sorry. I'm laughing because Travis didn't ask for that too, so I'll make sure that he does that. Because he likes these shows a lot. So I make sure that he gives you guys the credit that you guys deserve.
So, Boris, you do this for us?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that. Yeah. We appreciate that. It helps us as a free way to help us. If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy, Saturday's Jim Valley show, and I should say, Jim Valley's wrestling on Saturdays becoming quite the hit. Rhonda Shears from Up All Night, what a name, and who has some wrestling, and they did on the USA Network back in the 80s, and they did some wrestling stuff, and in the 90s too. And he's got. And she's never been interviewed, as far as I know, about any of this, about professional wrestling, about working with WWE. And it'll be he will have her on tomorrow. If you like any of these shows, Jason Powell, ProWrestling.net with Wade Keller on Tuesdays, just any of this stuff. James Caldwell on the Vera shows. Hit us, give us that 5-star rating. It does help. Very much does help.
It does help. And shut up about the quality of the show, or I'll fine you.
Well, not the quality of the show, because I'm trying to work with Travis.
No, the quality of my the content. Or I'll find you.
I'm thinking more of the quality of Travis's content, but I'm working with him on that. But if you've noticed a difference today in my connection, please, you can definitely, not that I would like write the review for you or anything, you can definitely make some sort of comment about that, because we jumped through some hoops to get that fixed. Not that it matters. What do you care if we jump through some hoops? Hopefully it's just better. So, So it's another great, easy, free way to support the show. So that's cool. Oh no, wait a minute. Oh, also, if you shop Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/AMAMAZ. Oh, God almighty. You didn't spell Amazon right. Anyway, pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click the link and then shop as usual.
It's Amazon.
He didn't spell Amazon right. That's not my fault.
You can just say Amazon.
Okay, now I'll say Amazon. So he spelled it right there. So so don't get, go through pwtorch.com and then go there. There's nothing, it doesn't cost you a cent if you use Amazon a lot for all the various things that you can buy. And if you use it a lot, and then we get the commission, and this is a grassroots business, no doubt about it. And hustling for everything we can do to give back to you guys, to make sure you're getting more than your value for your money.
Bruce, real quick, speaking of grassroots, I went to an event last weekend that was really all based around grassroots, local.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
I am an idiot. Read that on the air. Oh, damn. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I went to an event at the comic book shop that I go to. It was the Blackfinity podcaster event. It was like a black podcaster meetup. It was people from Virginia to New York, all on the East Coast, showed up at Amalgam Comics and Coffee House right here in Philadelphia. I was there to promote off three of my podcasts, of my shows, East Coast Cast, Live Cast, and Fan by Fan, that I co-host with Cameron Hawkins, talking about CW's The Flash. It was really an amazing kind of few hours of connecting and exchanging information and finding out about a lot of really cool podcasts. And it's mostly like geek culture stuff, superhero stuff, but there were a few that like me, I was one pro wrestling guy there, that did other things. So it was really, really awesome, really grassroots. I mean, these are podcasters that, I mean, if you do podcasts, you know what it's that doesn't pay. It's all out of pocket expenses. So this was a great way of connecting to people. So I just wanted to give those guys at Amalgam Comics a shout out, and all the podcasters there: Black Girl Nerds, Black Tribbles, Soul Brother Geeks, all of them. They were real good stuff. So yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that sounded really cool. So we've had this discussion a little bit. The next Ultimates issue was really good, like really good. So I'm glad, as Marvel Universe specific as that book is, I'm glad you're really liking it, because it's well done. That's a cool book.
Yeah, it's I'm four. I have to go get five. The way I have it set up, is, you know, I have Ant-Man, Superman, American Alien, and the Ultimates are like my three ones that come out every week or come out every month, and they all come out different weeks. So I have three times a month something's new on Wednesday is going to be there. So that's really cool. And I'm really getting into Ant-Man. Like, it's a really I didn't know comics world could be as contemporary as they are. It's like, wow, these people, they live in the same world I do. You know, it's really cool, and I'm finding myself really really into this stuff.
Well, there's a collection of it. It's fairly expensive, but the same guy who writes Ant-Man, Nick Spencer, did a book called Superior Foes of Spider-Man that has a very similar vibe, and it's all collected. It's no longer, it was last year, and it's all collected now. Probably go into trade paperback soon enough. It's collected in a hardback, and the book is tremendous, and it's hilarious. I mean, it's more this just goofy crime noir about these third-rate supervillains, and it's hilarious. He's got a real ear for it. He's got a real and kind of that same Ant-Man's hustling and screwing up all the time part to it. And the thing I love about one of the things I love about Superior Foes of Spider-Man was that Spider-Man was never in the book. I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I watched Adventure Brothers on Cartoon Network. I think I believe that is the most well-written animated show that I've seen. And they always talk about these, like, superhero culture, geek culture within their, like, you don't, that's my supervillain. No, that's my supervillain. That's my arch, or I arch him, or whatever the terminology is. And I just thought, whatever, it's cool. But that really happens in these comic books. Sam Wilson's Captain America is telling Ant-Man, like, okay, you helped me with this, you know, you helped me fight those guys, but those are my supervillains. Like, those are my arch nemesis. You can't, like, horn in, try to like get in on this action. It's like, oh, they really, that's like really a thing. Venture Brothers wasn't like just, they were spoofing like a real thing that happens in comics. So I'm as I get in, you know, 3 months into this world and culture, I'm learning something new every day.
Yeah,
cool. It's really cool.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. That's all right. Let's go to Australia. Jason, welcome to Friday.
Yeah, hi, Bruce and Travis. I'll get right into it. Bruce, you're talking about the Undertaker match, and my thing in relation to that is, besides the whole double negative outcome, I just can't get into this match until I find out why the Undertaker is fighting for Vince McMahon.
I don't think you're going to get into the match then, because I don't think they're going to tell us.
Because it's his job.
Yeah, it's because it's his job, and we all bow down to authority, no matter if we're from hell or we have superpowers, whatever it is. At the end of the day, we all, we all live in the McMahon world.
And that's fair enough, and I understand that. And I know there's a tinge of, well, there's a lot of sarcasm in the explanation, but as a fan, that's just not good enough. And it's not good enough for Mark Calloway, who has done a tremendous job over the years protecting his character, going out of his way to protect the credibility and the aura and the uniqueness of it. And I feel it's all well and good to do that for the character. I mean, it's vitally important. But surely you've got to have that same discipline to the character. This is not some Mickey Mouse lower card character. This is Vince McMahon and The Undertaker, two legendary characters. And if you're going to have this logic, if you're going to have this hole in the logic of the storyline that relates to these characters, then why even bother having storylines or characters to begin with if you can't commit to telling a decent story that makes sense to the fans in relation to Taker and Vince? I mean, to me, this whole thing about, well, it's just pro wrestling and you should really enjoy it, well, then you should just give up and pack it in, because why have anything make sense? And it's, now, I will say, I think I have an explanation as to how they can get around this. And we need to find this out on Monday. I believe that what you do is you play off the whole ending to WrestleMania 30, where it's been established that Vince McMahon was in the ambulance with The Undertaker. And you can say that on the way to the hospital, Vince says, look, for your own good, I'm going to have to cancel your contract. That's it. You're going to retire. You can have The Undertaker say, no, listen, I can't go out this way. I'm going to keep fighting. And then you can have Vince say, all right, well, I'll let you do that, but one day, I'm going to need you to fight for me, and you're going to do it without consequence. That's the deal. And Undertaker can say, fine, I made the deal with the devil. I know that's a little bit
No, I think that's really good, Jason.
That's the only way that you can describe it.
I think that's really good, Jason. I think they ought to do exactly that. I think that that would be, you know, that there's a secret why, and that turns out to be the secret. That's that rewards people who've been watching for at least a few years. It makes sense. Undertaker would have to, you know, Undertaker would honor his promise, and the evil McMahon would use the promise against his own son. I think that this character driven, it makes sense. That's I haven't even heard people trying to explain this because I didn't think there was an explanation, but I like that a lot, Jason. What do you think, Travis?
Yeah, that works as well as anything that I think you could think of that would make any kind of sense. It makes sense. It actually happened. So it's a memory you can easily go back to. Oh yeah, I did kind of hear about that. And, you know, it's footage of Vince. We need a doctor over here. I mean, you could put together a decent, you know, 3 minute long explanation that shows that Undertaker may be talking and they're showing the parts of that match, of the streak loss ending match, him trying to walk up the ramp, then show Vince, we need a doctor here, and the ambulance pulling off, make it really dramatic with the music. Yeah, I could totally see that. And if you played it, if you did that and played it Monday, as the, you know, it would give people, I think, some like, okay, all right, he's not just Vince's bitch. Really, because that's really all he's been for real.
And the thing is, I think not only as we as fans deserve that, but I think you need to do that to honor the character of The Undertaker. He just can't be in these flimsy storylines that are just put together just for the sake of it. I think you have to do that to honor the character of The Undertaker, and of all the characters that deserve that credibility, it's definitely him. You know, I want to move on to Charles and Kevin Owens. I know a lot of people have said that was a really good match, but to me it encapsulates everything that's wrong with professional wrestling in 2016. You have two guys over three segments killing each other, doing all these high spots that don't lead to any pinfalls. And the end game is to make AJ Styles look like an idiot, put heat on Chris Jericho. You know, you look at the roster.
90 Horton, seconds.
Cesaro, Neville, Rollins, all out with injury. You've got two guys that are 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. They're 2 weeks from their own personal first WrestleMania appearance. They can't afford any more injuries. Yet they're killing each other, and I'm thinking, someone's going to get injured here. I mean, the luck that they're having with injuries, something bad's going to happen here. Now, I'm not saying they can't go out there and have a great match, but I'm saying that if the story you're going to get to is that Chris Jericho is going to screw AJ Styles,
60 seconds.
Why do all of that? When all that great action is going to be forgotten, I'm just thinking to myself, what are these guys doing? Are they tone deaf to the situation that they're in? Bruce, am I being too harsh on Travis, but can you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I didn't like that they ended with that stupid finish after all that excellent wrestling, and you're right. I think they need to tone it down. I think they need to be careful with things as they're coming into it. And you can wrestle a little bit smarter and you can never cut all the risk out or even a majority of it, but you can cut a significant part off by doing that. Let me say also, for those of you that are listening right now, we will have Madison Square Garden house show coverage tonight of the Daniel Bryan tribute show that's not a Daniel Bryan tribute show because Bryan is taking this extended time off, and there's a sellout crowd in Madison Square Garden right before WrestleMania. So as bad as some of this stuff has been, at least the annual expensive Madison Square Garden show seems to be doing all. You know, seems to be doing.
Yeah, it's a packed house apparently. Yeah. And our good pal from North Jersey, Kylan, is in the building. I think backstage getting the tour. I think Ric Flair's hooking him up.
Kylan, you know what? That's a pretty good excuse for not calling the show tonight. But wouldn't you say, Travis?
Yeah, no, he's hanging out with Ric Flair, Kylan, and profiling.
I usually hate puns, but that wasn't bad. I kind of like that, so that wasn't too bad. Yeah, Jason.
No, but the AJ. Why wasn't that match promoted? Did they say on SmackDown that match was happening on Raw?
I don't believe so.
Probably not. I mean, I didn't see SmackDown, but I can guess that they didn't. It's the opening, I'm pretty sure it was the opening match, or the opening, yeah, match of the show. And yeah, two commercial breaks, three segments, and it was a good match, but it meant nothing.
I think it actively hurt AJ Styles. I mean, that's what I think.
Totally.
Yeah, I think it actively hurt
AJ Styles. He looked like such a bonehead.
Yeah.
And then later on, like, you're just going to grab the mic and call him a jackass and try to do the same thing? If he's going to end up winning the match anyway, just run in there and just beat the crap out of him. And, you know, sorry.
No, I love that the babyface got tricked. But the heel was more resourceful and smarter than the babyface and didn't fall for it. I'm just like, what a
bunch of crap. Well, if he did, but the thing is, Bruce, he did fall for it.
For a second.
He kicked out, right. No, he kicked out.
So in the end, he didn't fall for it.
Fandango.
Yeah.
But I'm less harsh on that aspect of it. Like, AJ outsmarted him. Like, no, he did exactly what he meant to do. He distracted him, got him rolled up. He just was not... It wasn't the 28-minute mark of a Kevin Owens match. It was the 3-minute mark of a Fandango match.
Right.
So AJ looked like an idiot for at least, I don't know, it was stupid for so many reasons and an embarrassment because that match, the opening match, AJ Owens, was just simply presented and not promoted.
Yeah. So, I mean,
good night, guys.
Oh, good night. All right, and good night to everybody. That's a good way to end the show. Appreciate that. We'll be back next Friday. Of course, Travis, you'll be on Wednesday, and you'll be on with your Flash show. And everybody listen to Rhonda Shears with Jim Valley Saturday, tomorrow, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Talk to everybody later on. Thanks.